Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Sally O'Cordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. Today, my honored guest is Sheila Lewis-Ely. And Sheila and I have been having a lot of fun of late. She is the star of VAX. She's an autism mother from New Orleans, Louisiana. And she's going to be holding an event on October 1st to kick off National Moratorium on Vaccination Now. She and I are the only two who are starting on August 1st, although this will run through October and it will culminate in the District of Columbia at the end of October, which is Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. Why are we the only ones kicking it off on August 1st? Because we're the only ones who have banners. The banners for everyone else will arrive on August 3rd. So sit tight, and I will get them to you by August 10th. You can also make up car magnets, and I know a friend of mine in California is going to do that. So the whole idea is to take this banner. It's kind of like a visual petition. That's the best way I can describe it, because I've been petitioning Congress since 2009 to ban vaccines, some through their email boxes and delivered in person and faxed and, you know, emailed every which way I could fathom to call their attention. But now we're going to do a visual petition because everybody is going to stand with this magnificent banner made by Joe Jones of airmail-greetings.com, which says, "Unite to save our children. Call for a national moratorium on vaccination now." I'm going to pick up Sheila Lewis-Ely right now. Hello, Sheila.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
Well, you know, the last interview we had for WBAI was just incredible. How comprehensive that interview was, because we had a full hour. We have 45 minutes this time, and I'm asking you specifically to address the question of why we need a national moratorium on vaccination now. Sheila Lewis-Ely of the movie Vaxxed.
Well, the problem that we have now with vaccinations are the mandates. It is truly against humanity and against everything that our forefathers fought for that is written in the Constitution to mandate an individual to inject formaldehyde, aborted fetal cell lines, WI-38 being one of them, to ask us to allow pharmaceutical companies, corporations, to make loads of money with no oversight ability to what is happening to our children, autism being one. But when you talk about vaccine damage, we can throw in there all of the childhood illnesses. A country that has over 54% of its children population, the sickest in any industrialized country. That's why we're asking for a moratorium on vaccinations.
Well, we're calling for one because we're demanding one. We cannot wait anymore. If I were standing outside of the CDC, let me tell you what my banner would have read. It would have read, "We are not here to debate your lies. Vaccines are poison. How dare you poison our children?"
Exactly. And then you walk away and say definitively that you don't know what causes autism, but you know that the vaccinations do not. No one can say that they know what doesn't cause something if they can't tell you what does.
I have heard that at one point on the CDC, I think it was the American Academy of Pediatrics website, and it was taken down, it said, say anything other than vaccine. So if you are a person who's taken your child to the pediatrician post-MMR vaccine and your child is autistic, just know, they have been instructed to say anything but vaccine, is what you tell these parents of these vaccine-damaged children.
And that's a problem. It's a huge problem when you look at what's actually going on in our country. you're mandating something. You're even in California mandating that homeschoolers are vaccinated. What do you have to do with the homeschool population if a parent decides to homeschool their children?
That was taken out of the bill, to my knowledge, the homeschool aspect. It was initially in the
bill.
It's
back in.
But that was removed.
Well, it's back in. Yes, exactly. And when you consider the way vaccines shed, the chickenpox vaccination sheds for up to 6 weeks. The DTaP, the pertussis side of that, can spread to others. It is those who are vaccinated with the DTaP that are spreading pertussis. Influenza mist, it sheds for 28 days to infect the general population. And you want to say the non-vaccinated are the ones who are causing these outbreaks? No, it's not. The rotavirus, it peaks excretion at around the seventh day. The shingles, the smallpox, 14 to 21 days. It goes on and on and on. What's going on with an untested biomedical procedure that is invasively injected into children and adults? That's the problem.
Well, the adverse reactions that are immediate, not the long-term ones, but sometimes even those include death.
Right.
The adverse reactions are never told to the parents, and the ingredients are not told to the parents, and the informed part of consent is excluded. So,
Unless it gives the Nuremberg Code, which was established in 1947, that everyone had to have informed consent of any experimental procedure, and all of it has been experimental. However, it has been experimental without informed consent. We are not the property of the government. That's what the new vaxxed bus is saying. We are not the property of the government. And if the government can mandate and force parents to inoculate their children or bully children in the school system to be vaccinated without parental consent, then who owns your children? Who owns your body? Who owns their body? And that's the issue.
Right, but I have such a problem with consent because of the lack of information. How are we going to get the doctors to not lie for profit? I mean, the incentive to lie to the parent and not give them the full information are so immense. The money involved is huge.
It is huge. It is the amount of money that is involved that is causing a great deal of problems in this country. When you've got elected officials that would rather be bought out than to do the job they were elected to do for the people, by the people, protect the rights of the people, you've got a huge problem that has grown, is exponential now.
Now, I want to talk to you about, you're saying get off the bus. Don't participate in this. Reject them completely. And I want to say how you were thrown under the bus once your child was injured. The last time I interviewed you, something very important came forward, and that is that your child had to wait for 7 years to get someone with the proper accolades to attend to them. So what did you do during that 7 years, pray tell?
I had to cash out my retirement, so I have no retirement. I had to mortgage my home to pay for services that my child needs. But I was in a position to do that. Can you imagine the parents who cannot? So in essence, they have nothing. These parents are on long waiting lists for services, and they have absolutely nothing, and they have no financial way of obtaining any type of service, because anything that's involved in the autism community as far as therapy goes is all extremely expensive. It requires training, either by the parent or by a caretaker or someone who's going to see after that child.
And tell
and
us,
many
how
parents
much,
cannot afford
how much,
that.
How much of these expenses, which are extraordinary, that even a wealthy person would be staggering under the weight of, how much of that is covered by your insurance?
What you do on your own is not. You have applied behavioral analysis, which is evidence-based, which is covered by insurance. However, what you have to check your own policy, because what you do on your own, if you have not been approved by insurance, may only be worth whatever it is that you were going to pay as your family deductible. And for some families, you max out on that. Could be a max of a family of five for $3,000. Well, ABA for 40 hours a week can run as much as $3,000. So you're not talking about getting much back.
Right. And your insurance covers medical procedures. And the children who are suffering from autism will not be brought back. Their symptoms will not be reversed by more medicine. That would be the polar opposite of what could benefit them.
Exactly. So if you do anything that's more natural to try and help your child, none of it's covered. You're on your own with it. You have to figure out a way to pay for that. Doctors have to be paid. The supplementation has to be bought. And you're talking about an exorbitant cost to parents that's not covered by anyone. So rather than saying, as they did before, that only the wealthy got autism, and this is what was said early on before the 70s, what should be said now, you need to be wealthy to afford autism.
Right.
Because it has no respect to person. Yes.
You were explaining to me that only the wealthy could see doctors. Therefore, only the wealthy were affected by autism because of vaccines. So the poor could not afford to see doctors, were not getting vaccinated, and they were not, therefore, afflicted with autism.
Right. Poor families couldn't afford that, not even middle class. I mean, when you saw a doctor, it was for a broken leg or something. Parents naturally thought that childhood diseases were a natural part of development and progression, and we all got our childhood diseases, never thought anything of it, so we were not vaccinated. I didn't get vaccinated until it came around when I was in the second grade and used that smallpox gun, stuck it to my left arm, and then gave me a sugar cube for polio. That's what we got
right
then, and that was it. Mm-hmm. But we had measles, we had mumps, we had chicken pox, I even had scarlet fever. You had these childhood diseases that came around. I had rheumatic fever, which can be serious, but I lived through it and I'm fine.
To naturally acquired illness and recovery and then lifelong immunity. You didn't need a booster shot for measles because you acquired them naturally. You are now protected from some cancers. And
for life, my lifetime.
And also from asthma and allergies from naturally acquired measles?
Well, it's been studied, and it's a known fact now that if you acquired chickenpox naturally as a child, you're protected from a great many brain cancers. These childhood diseases, they have their purpose, and man has had no business whatsoever tampering with what nature provided as a natural progression of growing up.
I just read the other day a statement by Marcella Piper Terry who said perfectly what I've been thinking, and that is, how can we debate herd immunity when it's been a fallacy from the get-go?
Right.
In terms of vaccination, it has never, it was basically, the long explanation, and I really wanted to say it succinctly, but it was based on natural immunity and vaccination. It's all chemicals and biological garbage, basically. As much garbage as they can shoot into your bloodstream. And I want to, just for an example, the new meningitis vaccine contains Ebola. Well, geez,
right.
There must be a laundry list of benefits from Ebola. Put that in your bloodstream, you will die.
Well, the Netherlands did a study. It was a small study of garbage collector workers. And what they looked at were those who were born before 1973 who acquired measles naturally and the mumps, and those who were born after 73 who had been vaccinated and had their boosters. And what they discovered until 1995, and what they discovered, those that were born before 1973 who acquired their childhood diseases naturally, they had lifelong immunity. Those who were given vaccinations from 1973 to 1975 did not. What does that tell you? There is no such thing as herd immunity. It's a fallacy. Those who acquire natural forms of childhood diseases, they have lifelong immunity. I have lifelong immunity to those illnesses. I have it. Will my children have it? I doubt it.
Well,
I doubt.
They use herd immunity to justify absolutely everything, which is why it is such a dangerous misconception, you know? That's why I'm writing herd on herd immunity, because they're justifying these mass inoculation programs because of it, and it's a flat-out fallacy.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a flat-out lie and fallacy, and they don't tell you all the information. Catherine Frompovich wrote an article about microplasmas, and she states that they're in every vaccination. These vaccinations contain these microplasmas, which are indigenous to vaccinations because of the raw ingredients that they use, which include mouse brains, monkey kidneys, bovine tissue, and the aborted human fetal cell lines. That is disgusting. That is disgusting,
yeah,
and that shouldn't go in any human being.
Let us get into that in just a moment. The article that you refer to, that was published yesterday or the day before?
I think it was, yes.
That's an excellent article. Would you kindly, if you have that, would you put that in the comment area underneath this radio program? Everybody,
I will.
Please,
I'll be glad to do
radio
that.
Program, I need you to help me. People,
everyone
who are
should
listening.
Read it.
Well, I want to tell people how to access it, though. I'm going to post this with the link to the show. I want you to click on the link. Underneath it, you will see important information and live links. But if you scroll down on the screen to the radio show, there's a comment area. And I want to, we normally, after the show, embellish the comment area with relevant links to awaken and educate and call to action. Like, for example, Sheila is going to be speaking on August 1st. That's such a good article, though. I'm glad you brought that up. She's going to be speaking on August 1st to kick off with me. I'm doing it in Manhattan at City Hall, 1 p.m., August 1st, and everyone's welcome. And now Sheila is going to be speaking in Alabama, right, Mobile, Alabama. And can the general public attend your speech?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sally. I didn't hear the last part. The phone clicked.
Right. The speech in Mobile, Alabama that you'll be giving on August
1st. It won't be so much a speech. I'm going to attend a screening of Vaxxed, and I'll be at the Q&A, the question and answer session.
Wonderful.
Afterwards. Yes.
So how can
I'm
get
sure
a
someone will
that?
Periscope it, however.
Good
I'm
idea.
Sure it'll be periscoped.
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled to hear that you're back on the tour. That's absolutely delights me because you're such a powerful voice. And,
I wish I could go on the bus, but I'm not on the bus because I've got so many family obligations here. I had to get off the bus because of my family obligations. So what I'm doing now, for anything that's local in my own area and I can get to, that's where I'm going. I'll represent Vaxxed in my area here.
Excellent. Okay, well, all I can say is those who do live in Mobile, Alabama, go to the website Vaxxed, which is V-A-X-X-E-D, VaxxedTheMovie.com, and basically write the, you know, if you live there, just type in where you live and they'll show you where it's airing. And you can purchase a ticket. And it's very important to purchase tickets. If you're expecting to go to something, they have to reach a limit of capacity before the show will be screened. So
yes,
if you have the intention of going, get your ticket as soon as you can. Everybody can go there, type in their address, they'll show you where it's going to air locally, and support wherever it is local to you as soon as you can to make sure that it's going to play, let's say, a month later. That's how it works. So we want to support as many screenings as possible.
Right, and the beauty of the Vaxxed bus tour is that now they will have the opportunity to come into your homes if that's what you would like, to see your children, see what your day
mm-hmm.
is like, and to tell
mm-hmm.
your story, because the parents' stories are important. They need to be told. They need to be out here. We need more visibility of exactly what is going on in our communities, in our homes, with our children. We have to show exactly what vaccine injury looks like.
I wish that this was running as a double feature with Who Killed Alex Bortolakis, which is director and Dr. Andrew Wakefield's prior film. And I have to tell
right.
you, that film shut down more than one festival. The entire festival was shut down a couple of times. I know of one case in California. This is how important this film is. And he, in fact, went and spent time and videotaped Alex Bortolakis and his mother and aunt. And if you can, I sobbed openly for 10 minutes after this film. It was the most serious indictment of the medical industry I have ever seen in my life, which is why it closed down film festivals. But Robert De Niro was involved. So because Robert De Niro is involved, this has, to God, skyrocketed in acknowledgement, you know. But both movies must be seen.
Well, I consider Vaxxed a God's movement. The time is now to act upon what's happening in our communities, to our children, in our society, what is actually happening around the world with these mandates to our, will we have a society? Will we have one anywhere if we continue to allow governments whose pockets are lined by the pharmaceutical industry, who are allowed to make trillions of dollars with no liability to humanity, to continue?
Well,
we have one.
I know. I'm calling for people to unite to save our children. But honestly, you know, the day that we had our action on the steps of City Hall, they were calling for a day of rage to get people to oppose the police. And they were creating problems, created but funded problems. And I, you know, the police officers at City Hall, when I said to them, can we unite to save our children, I thought, these are the same men I am hoping one day will arrest all the pediatricians who knowingly created these problems and knowingly denied them.
Right. We have such a problem in our communities. You know, the vaccine injury, it is extensive, and the damage is so real. We have classrooms now of children who cannot learn. We have classrooms now of children who all require special services. That was unheard of 30, 40 years ago. What has attributed to the decline in our children's intelligence, to the decline in our children's health? And we know that with the amount of neurotoxins and toxins and chemicals and viruses that are in one small needle, what that can do to the brain. We know that polysorbate 80 opens up and crosses the blood-brain barrier. And when it crosses and uptakes to the blood-brain barrier, it brings with it metals and viruses in a child's brain.
And sterility for their future.
And sterility also. That's criminal. Criminal! And yet,
so
what is our government doing
about
it?
Aborted fetal cells. Talk to people
right
now about aborted fetal cells.
Exactly. What is our government doing about it? Not
Dr. Crowley calls it cannibalism. That's what she calls it. You're injecting aborted fetal cells into people's bloodstreams. This is cannibalism.
And I wonder how many pro-lifers understand that when a woman has an abortion, those babies are born alive. They are kept alive if they're being sold to the pharmaceutical corporations because they need them alive to harvest the cells. And it's only after that that they are murdered. And I often wonder how many really understand that pro-life must be connected to the vaccine movement, the anti-vaccine movement.
You know, I have seen the monkeys that they used for these simian virus 40. I've seen the film where they are using these monkeys. They're cutting them open while they're alive. And it was torture. This is torture.
Right.
So what you're telling me is that they are torturing these fetuses before they kill them.
Yes.
Oh, my
right
God. I mean, it was hard enough looking at these monkeys. Unfathomable what you're saying now.
It really is. And just the image in my own mind to think that this can happen in America, in a society that places on its money in God we trust, in a society that says we are one nation under God, it saddens me to think that this is how they treat the least of them. A fetus, a live fetus. This is how they treat a child that's here.
Take your pick. Which of these many reasons do you think is sufficient to call for a national moratorium on vaccination? Which?
It's enough to call for a national moratorium on every one of these issues. There's no big I or little e. When you think of microplasmas, you think of aborted fetal cell lines, you think of monkey brains, mouse tissues. When you think of thimerosal, aluminum, formaldehyde, polysorbate 80, they can all stand on their own. It's hard to choose one.
That's exactly right. Because I've been saying to people, what are we going to talk about? A component at a time? Are we going to talk about a mandate at a time? An exemption at a time? It gets to the point where it's any one or all of them are good enough.
Exactly. Exactly. So
Sheila and I know that there are 271 vaccines waiting to come out. So
those are for adults. They're not happy with just the children.
Well, I have to, my message to adults is, if you don't get active, I'm going to get active ensuring the fact that you're fully vaccinated, okay? You don't do something right now to stop this in our children, you deserve the worst.
Right, right. And if we continue to allow them to inflict these injustices on our children, they're coming after us. There are already bills in Congress to completely vaccinate a veteran who has served this country. If that veteran decides that they will not get vaccinated at the VA hospitals, then that veteran may stand to lose their benefits. Now, that goes beyond fascism and medical tyranny. It goes way beyond it.
Yeah, I'm sure they didn't expect it. They didn't expect all the vaccines they were going to receive when they signed up. And they certainly didn't expect a new law to come about that requires them to get more once they've retired. So
right.
They've already earned their benefits. And I have to tell you, there is a tracking, there's a part of that bill is a tracking system, not just to track veterans, but veterans' families. Veterans' families. If you live in a neighborhood with a sizable amount of veterans, the entire neighborhood. It's a lot about tracking in there.
Well, I don't think people fully understand the magnitude to which this corruption has extended. You know, the best saying, and I can't remember who said it, absolute power corrupts. That's what has happened. In 86, when Reagan decided that the pharmaceutical industries were no longer going to be liable for a defective product, then they decided we'll make all the money every year. We'll come out with these new vaccinations that will not be tested. They don't need to be tested because no matter who they maim, who they kill, we're not responsible. Well, what government that operates as a republic and a democracy would allow that to happen to its citizens? I don't understand it.
Well, what I like to say about the Supreme Court, that they came to the right conclusion. Vaccines are unavoidably unsafe. Now, the resolution they came to therefrom should have been, ban them. They're unavoidably unsafe. Ban them. No, they're unavoidably unsafe. Let's lift the liability from the drug companies. That's where we part company. And I'm talking to Carrie Lewis, who is calling people on August 12th at 1 p.m. to the steps of the San Diego Federal Courthouse, where they're trying to overturn SB 277, which you have just eliminated me to know now includes homeschool children. This is something I had not realized. Anyway, 1 p.m. at San Diego Federal Courthouse, August 12th. But there was a reason I brought this up. I don't remember what it is. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, yes.
Well, the bill for the homeschoolers.
What she was saying, we'll take this to the Supreme Court if we have to. I said, why? Why are you going to take it to the Supreme Court? They already know they're unavoidably unsafe, and that was their resolution, is to lift liability and hang everyone out to dry.
And for anyone who doesn't know what that bill is in California for the homeschoolers, is AB 1084.
And it's passed?
No, it hasn't passed.
Oh.
It's there now in Sacramento to be voted on. So you need to write letters to everybody involved because that cannot pass.
They need to be personally liable. The legislators must be personally liable. This is reckless endangerment.
It is, but what the bill intends to do, you have a large homeschool population, and everyone knows that now you have these public online schools that are run through charter systems where you have a teacher on the other end who works with your child. It's a wonderful way of setting up a program for those who are either homebound or for parents who choose to homeschool children, those who can't stay in a regular school. So SB 277 did not apply to those students. Well, they decided, okay, SB 77 needs to apply to those students, so we're going to shut down those virtual schools so that the parents will not have any other alternative. And I'm going to say this, I say it all of the time. The biggest lie, myth, fallacy that has ever been told is that we have a free and appropriate education. Well, those of us with vaccine-injured children, we already know it's not appropriate because you have to fight for those IEPs and fight for those services. However, we've never had a free system. We pay federal, state, local taxes. We even pay extra if the IRS says we need to. Those are the tax dollars that are used to fund public education in this country. So tell me if that's free, because I pay property taxes also on top of the other taxes that I pay that goes into the funds that run the public schools. So it is a taxed system on the backs of the tax payers who are the citizens of this country. That is not free. We've never been given anything in this country. That is not free. We are the owners of those schools. So how dare anyone sit at a state capitol and state that they have the right to take away our rights as parents in a public school setting that we're paying for with our tax dollars and our property tax dollars.
Well, I want to tell you how easy it has been to get people on board for a national moratorium on vaccination. I am telling you, this has got to have been the easiest ever done in my life. Everybody I have reached out to say, will you start this in your state? Every single one of them. No, okay, two exceptions. But everybody has said yes. Within 8 hours, I had 8 yeses. I'm up to 15 yeses now. Why? It's because no matter how you look at this issue, it is outrageous, as you are explaining right here.
Right. Right. Outrageous. And the more we make people aware, the more we can rise up in numbers. We may be outfinanced by the pharmaceutical corporations. We may have a government who has decided that their coffers, the pockets, should be lined with these monies off of the backs of our children. But we have power in numbers. And the only way to get those numbers is to make people aware of exactly what we're dealing with, what's going on, because what has affected those of us with vaccine-injured children is not isolated. You've got tons of parents who say, well, my child is fine. If your child has asthma, reflux, ADHD, ADD, gastrointestinal issues, other autoimmune conditions, your child is not fine. Your child, too, is possibly vaccine injured. And these mandates affect us all.
Yeah. I want everyone who's listening to go to the website. You'll see right on the screen it says www.novaccine.com and click on vaccine conditions and reactions. Wow, it'll blow your mind. They create every disease in internal medicine, and these are broken down by category. So I would have to say this is a very important link. I want you to print it and hand it out in the street.
Exactly. That's what needs to happen.
Sheila Lewis-Ely, a star of Vaxxed, we are about to be cut off, so I'd like you to say something in conclusion right now.
In conclusion, we have to be brave, as Dale always says. We must rise up and take a stand. We're out of time. we can no longer, as a society, exercise pacifism. We have to take a stand, because if we do not, we will not have a society left. When you think in 16 years, one out of every two children will be diagnosed with autism, and that will include 80% of our male population, will we have a workforce? Will we have a society? Who will care for those children? Who will care for those adults? Take a stand. Rise up. Get off of the bus if that means you have to walk out of those school systems, and demand equality for your children and demand justice from our government.
You said get off the bus, don't go to the pediatrician. You said get off the bus, don't go to the schools. And now you're telling me the schools are coming to you and you can't get away from the vaccines there.
It's no, you can't get away from them there.
The You
can't get away from them there. Anybody who will not listen to you, well, anybody who will not listen to you and allow a system and a process to dictate what you do with your children and how you do it, you are no longer in a democracy. You are a working slave. You have sold your children to genocide. This is the same thing that happened in Nazi Germany. The Holocaust didn't just happen. It started in 1850. This is what people don't understand about it. It didn't just happen. And you've sold your children to a genocide policy and system that will not be successful and will have the most ill-fated results. And we cannot do that.
I want every adult to know. I want every adult to know the Department of Homeland Security is going to enforce the adult vaccination. I want everyone to know they expect to chip all of our children. I want everybody to know that a woman was pulled over with a broken taillight, and they looked up on the record, found that her son didn't get his MMR booster, and that child went to jail. I've been posting that. That's an old article from the Vaccine Reaction. Understand that the Department of Transportation is going to play a role in this. Wake up.
That's right. That's right.
All right, Sheila Lewis Ely, thank you very much again. And
you're welcome,
you know, come on, anytime. Anytime at all.
You're welcome, Sally. Thank you for having
me. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome.
Best of luck with your event on August 1st in Alabama, Mobile, at the movie Vaxxed. Okay, cheerio.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.